Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Connecting Faith. You can hear the show live each weekday at noon Central Time, and there are many more podcasts for this and all our Faith Radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Connecting Faith. I'm Jill Rathmanner. Very excited to be talking to you today as we approach Mother's Day this weekend. Exciting day for anyone who has children or has a mother. I think that's about all of us, right?
I think that covers it pretty well.
That does cover it. Ryan is joining me in studio, and we have a fabulous guest today to talk about mothers and sons. Of course, you've heard me mention before, I have two sons, and just yesterday, my sweet 8-year-old brought home a little project that they had done in class, and I'm going to read it to you. Ryan, you'll probably get a kick out of this. So it was specifically for Mother's Day, but he couldn't wait, so he wanted me to get it early. He wrote down my age and got it wrong, so I'm not going to read it. And then he said, my eyes are blue. He got that part right. And then it says, what makes her special? He wrote, she sings to me and snuggles. What she likes to do when she has a chance to relax. It says, read her book and golf. He got that right, too.
Oh.
What she's really good at, cooking food on the stove. What she likes most to eat, salad. Now, that would kind of negate the cooking food on the stove, but he does know me well. Mm-hmm. I do like eating salads. And what I like the most about her, and he wrote, she plays catch and games with me.
Oh, that's beautifully done.
Yes, he did a very nice job. I have to set him straight about my age, but he did quite well on the rest of it. I just adore raising boys. Sometimes I don't feel like I know what I'm doing, but I just think it's the best thing in the whole wide world. This past year, my husband engaged in a Bible study where they were learning about leading your family. And one of the things he was doing was reading countless books that were written on how to raise sons to be confident leaders and God-honoring men. And it just got me thinking, wow, what is my role in raising the confident leader and God-honoring men that are these two little people who live in my house? And so my guest for today had written something that I thought was brilliant and heartwarming to me. It says, maternal love is perhaps the most powerful, positive influence on a son's development and on his life. Mm. Have you found that to be true, Ryan?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think of all of the things that you go through when you grow up, and especially all of the insecurities that you have, you know, when you feel rejected by somebody else, to be able to come home every day and know that my mom, her name's Carolyn, just loves me no matter what I do, and all of the things she had to persevere through. I was one of those negotiators as a child.
No.
It was terrible, you know. So she knew better in almost every case, but of course I thought I knew best. But she persevered. She always loved me, and I just say, happy Mother's Day, Mom. You're the best.
Oh, happy Mother's Day. And what does she like to do when she's relaxing?
You know, she likes to follow people on Facebook very, very well. She loves to keep in touch. And she also likes to be active, too. She's a great bowler.
Ooh.
It's wild.
Are you a good bowler?
She is. Not as good as she is.
Well. There
it's
has
terrible.
To be one thing that she's better at, right?
we
reserve that right as moms to be able to beat you in at least one thing.
She reserves the right very well.
Oh, excellent. Well, happy Mother's Day, and happy Mother's Day to all of you who are listening today. Let me introduce you to our guest, and we will talk about what a son needs from a mom. My guest today is Cherry Fuller. She's a gifted speaker and award-winning author of over 40 books. She's a former Oklahoma Mother of the Year. She's worked with kids of all ages. She's the executive director of the nonprofit organization Redeeming the Family. She keynotes parenting conferences and is a frequent guest on Focus on the Family, Family Life Today, The 700 Club, and other radio and television programs. She's also written for Family Circle and Today's Christian Women magazines. She and her husband have 3 grown children and 6 grandchildren, and they live in Oklahoma. Welcome, Cherry.
Thank you, Joe. I'm delighted to be here. Yeah. Happy Mother's Day weekend.
Thank you very much. We get the whole weekend now, right? Because you can't accomplish everything you need to accomplish
That's right.
That's how I am about my birthday, too. It's my birthday week.
Yes, may as well stretch it out.
Absolutely.
Celebrate all week.
Absolutely. Well, what inspired you to write this book, What a Son Needs from His Mom?
I believe that it was finding sons a little mysterious. I grew up as one of five girls. My brother was the long-awaited Prince George. His name really is George. And there were five girls and then a boy, and he's 5 years younger than I am. And so I really grew up surrounded by girls. And my father died when I was 11, so that male influence, you know, although I adored and loved my dad, went out of my life. And raised by a mom. And so then when I got married, after I graduated from Baylor, we got married, Holmes and I got married. We've been married, it's almost 45 years. I think it takes that long to really, and longer, to get to really know your husband. And then we had two sons first. And I mean, just like the adventure needs that my oldest son had, I'd tell a story in the first of the book about how when he was 18 months old, I couldn't find him. And he had just been in his room, and I was just taking laundry around the house, and I couldn't find him. And it turned out he was on the roof. And he loved climbing. He's been a rock climber. He loves the outdoors. He loves 100-mile races, even at 42 and as a dad. And so that was just so foreign to me. I don't have those kind of adventure needs. I don't know about you, Joe. I love to have fun. I love to play tennis and be outside, but so many things about boys. I have a very verbal son, a very quiet son who's very quiet and creative. I just found it fascinating. And I hear moms say, you know, there's so much emphasis on dads and fathers, and almost like they felt irrelevant. And I wanted to encourage them that really, as a mother in your son's life, you have such a key role. And as I share, moms, you all make an indelible imprint on the lives of your children, and especially your boys.
So your book does focus particularly on mothers of sons. Why do you think there's a
That's
need?
Why,
yeah. What are you finding you hear from other women, other mothers who have sons, of why it's so foreign?
Well, similar to what I said, maybe they grew up with girls, or their sons' personalities are really different. Their temperaments are different. They have different interests. You know, with my sons, we have a daughter also. We have two sons and a daughter. They're all three grown. Three girls, three granddaughters, three grandsons. But it just took me a while to see, for instance, after they were out of the sitting on the floor and building with Legos, which I was very willing to do that and play board games. But I found as soon as they hit kind of middle school and high school, if I really wanted to connect with my boys, it wasn't going to the mall and shopping for earrings or looking, you know, window shopping like with my daughter. It was going out and throwing the ball. It was learning how to shoot hoops with my son, who's played year-round sports his whole life. And I already played tennis. It was going out and playing tennis with my son, Justin, and all of us going and swimming. It was active things, because especially boys, their feelings open up much more when they're active, not when they sit in a chair and have tea with you. It's great to take them to breakfast and lunch and to sit around the dinner table. But boys really, they're like, their emotions are like oatmeal. And when they get heated up through activity, they begin to say things like, well, Mom, I'm worried about my basketball tryout on Friday. Or there's this cute girl in my class, or, you know, something that I wouldn't have known if I hadn't gone out and gotten on their turf. That's what I call it, getting on your son's turf. And I talk about that in the book. And so I think we connect with boys differently than we do with girls. you know, with my daughter, you know, I could braid her hair and we'd talk and just a lot of girl things. But it was different with my boys, and they're marvelous men and dads and husbands, and I'm just crazy about them. And it was a learning experience. It was a big learning curve. So I just share some of that learning curve with moms and my experience, but also the experience of other mothers, and I also who were raising boys, and I also interviewed a lot of guys about their moms. I loved what your son wrote and made for you as a gift for Mother's Day, Joe. That is so neat.
Well, it's fun. He, ever since he was in preschool, they made a similar card that the questions would be different, but he would bring things home. And of course, when he was 2 or 3 years old, his questions were way off. I mean, my eyes weren't the right color. I think I liked,
yes, right.
Yeah, I liked cherries from a jar on 1 year. It was hilarious. But now as he's getting older, I mean, his answers were spot on, except the cooking on the stove
like
part.
Yeah, it sounds like he's really paying attention to mom.
I don't know that I'm really good at the cooking on the stove, but if he thinks I am, I mean.
Then you are.
Then I am. So my confidence just went way up. But one of the things that he has always mentioned from the first time he started doing this was that I am a good snuggler. And it just makes me think, wow, what does that love and nurture of a mom do for her son? And when will he quit writing that down?
Well, I don't know, but I think you're a very lucky, fortunate mom that your son, 8-year-old, still loves to snuggle with you. You know, but it shows that he has a secure bond with you, with his mom, and that bond, that both internal and external connection with you as a mother, really will provide a strong foundation of trust and love that he will build all future relationships on. And that's a pretty awesome, you know, that's a very big picture view of a mother's love. But of course, you know, all the things you do, you know, the meals, the pizza, taking him to his sports and all that. But the real core is that deep love, that safety, love, nurture, and that loving trust with his mother that is just foundational, which can help him overcome obstacles and just have this inner security that guys really need no matter what age they are.
Well, great words. We're hearing from author Cherry Fuller. She's written a book called What a Son Needs from His Mom, and we're just talking about mother sons as we approach Mother's Day. If you have a question for Cherry or something you'd like to add, or really if you are a man listening and your mom really made a difference in your life, we'd love to know how. Give us a call at 877-93-FAITH, 877-933-2484. We do have some parenting resources that we can give away. If you have a comment or question for the show, we would love to have you call in. So hope to hear from you soon. You're listening to Connecting Faith.
Hi, I'm Dick Whitworth, General Manager of Faith Radio. You and I both know that living for Jesus is a lifelong journey, and we're committed to helping you connect faith to life with access when you need it. And to help you keep your faith strong throughout the day, we'd like to send you a Live by Faith wristband. It's free. Wear it each day as a reminder that you're on a journey of faith. If you would like your free wristband, visit myfaithradio.com to request yours. We'll get it out to you as soon as possible. Why do you listen to Faith Radio? Hi, I'm Dick Whitworth. Recently, a friend wrote to tell us that they found Faith Radio at a time when they were going through struggles in their life. The programming truly reinforced their Christian faith and changed their life. Your support makes stories like this possible. Thank you for listening, praying, and giving as the Lord enables you. You can give simply and safely online at myfaithradio.com. Thank you. God bless you.
Joining us. us this afternoon. You're listening to Connecting Faith, and today we're talking with author and speaker Cheri Fuller. She's written a book called What a Son Needs from His Mom, and we're just talking about that important relationship and that opportunity that mothers have to build into their son's life. One of the things that we were talking about, Cheri, before we took a break was just that opportunity to nurture and how essential that is to growing a boy. I've had people sending in Facebook comments throughout the morning, and I asked, what's the best part of raising boys and what's the toughest part? And Lily sounded in. She said, the best part, helping to create an amazing man. And the toughest part, still wanting to kiss the boo-boos when they're 10. So where is it? When is it that we need to kind of stop babying them? And where does that nurturing just have to become encouragement?
Well, first of all, I would say 10-year-olds probably need a hug when they, you know, scrape their knee or whatever. And, you know, Joe, you were talking in the first segment about challenges of that I found and that I know other mothers have talked to me about. And one of those is mixed messages, like what you're talking about. Our hearts tell us to hold our sons close and to give them lots of affection and love. But the culture around us often says, well, you're just going to create a mama's boy who's going to be dependent and won't be able, you know, to make it. But really the truth is that, as we were saying, this holding them close when they're little, it doesn't make your son more dependent and timid. It makes him stronger and more independent. But we have to know when to begin letting go. And as all of you moms out there know, it isn't just when they pack up their car with their iPad and their flip-flops and their laptop and all their stuff and go to college. It really starts earlier, a lot earlier, because they're growing. And we want them to grow and become confident. And In my chapter 3 on a mom who builds confidence in her son, I think one of the ways that we do that and help our sons, because our goal is for them to become independent and leave us, as sad as that might sound, but they need opportunities to explore and where we're not controlling them and we're not going, oh, no, don't climb that tree. You might break your leg. They need opportunities to pick out the clothes they're going to wear and for us to be okay if it's not what we thought they were supposed to look like for church. They need opportunities to do things by themselves and make mistakes and, you know, pull on his jeans as soon as he's able instead of you dressing him and work ourselves out of a job. And that looks different for different kids. But one of the great things I share in that chapter is just being able, when our sons are struggling with something or they're trying to figure something out, instead of doing it for them, saying, you know, I know you're going to figure this out. And even when we help problem solve with them, having that attitude that I know, you know, believing in them, I know you're going to figure this out, and then celebrating with them when they do, and not being like, you can't live life without me and all of that. And that's why throughout the book I talk about us developing, as mothers, developing a purposeful life so that when our sons launch, they're not having to worry about, poor mom is depressed at home because I'm not there for her to hover over. And so it's, you know, it's this delicate balance, but the safety of boys knowing, our sons knowing they can always return to us, and we're always going to believe in them and unconditionally love them.
I almost find that it's easier when they're little to just stay connected. I mean, if I'm taking care of them and providing for their needs, they're connected to me. But as they get a little older and become teenagers, that seems to be even more of a challenge, especially for moms, as to know how to stay connected with our teenage kids. What do you suggest as a way to stay connected?
Well, and you know, in the first segment, Joe, when we were talking about one of my challenges was exactly that. How do I stay connected with my boys when they're little and I'm changing their diaper and I'm carrying them around and I'm strolling them on stroller rides and providing all their needs? That wasn't very hard to do. But then as they grow and life gets busier and another child comes along and another child, how do we stay connected? And I found one of those was putting aside everything for you know, at least 20 minutes a day and just sitting on the floor doing something they enjoy or going outside and going to the park together and swinging them when they're younger and throwing the football when they're a little older, whatever their interest is, as boys, you know, kind of entering into that and learning to enjoy that. I used to drive a golf cart for our son, Chris, our second son, when he took up golf. And it was just for a while, but I got to enjoy that with him and drive the golf cart. And we chatted, you know, between the holes. And I think it's getting on their turf and connecting with what they're interested in. And then having that focused attention. I think one of the biggest challenges today is that mothers are distracted by their social media, by their smartphones, by Facebook. And two fourth grade boys that I know and interviewed when I was working on this book said we were talking about their moms, and they love their moms so much, but you know, they both said in their own little way, you know, sometimes I really think my mom's Facebook friends are more important to me because she spends so much time on it, even when we're having lunch at the food court at the mall. And I think that, you know, we've got to limit our freedom with those devices or we're not really attentive and present with our children. And I see that a lot, you know. Preschool teachers tell me they see moms that are they're coming into the school to talk to the teacher and their child is right behind them and the mom's on the phone and the child's by themselves right there. Or she picks them up from school and her little boy gets in the car and she's on the phone. She doesn't even say, how was school today? And so, I mean, I think it's a bigger challenge to connect with them both with communication and being good listeners because you know how it is. I mean, it may be at a very inconvenient time of day, or it may be right when you're putting them to bed, that those special little moments where they open up and you hear their heart, or you can comfort them about something, or you can just talk about something in their day. And so I don't want us to miss those because we're connected all the time to our digital devices.
Absolutely. We have a caller calling in, and we just have a couple minutes before the break, Cherry. So if you don't get a chance to answer the whole question, we'll pick it up again after the break.
Okay.
But I'd love to get this woman on the line. Ray's calling in from Sioux Falls. She just has a question about connecting with her teenage son. Ray, are you there?
Yes. Hi.
Great. What's your question?
Well, long story short, it's not just about connecting with him. It's about evening out the relationship. It's so up and down. You know, I love you when you need something or in the early morning. And then by the time the afternoon rolls around and he wants to be playing, you know, Xbox, PS3, whatever, then it's, you know, leave me alone, get out of my face, bring me some food. It's just a very demanding. It's almost like a bipolar relationship, and it's just frustrating and hard to get him to help out and things like that.
You know what that reminds me of is, what is your name, our caller?
Ray.
Ray. What that reminds me of is what a counselor shared with me once, who'd raised four kids, including two boys, who'd counseled hundreds of mothers and their children over the years. And she said, you know, when they get to be teenagers, our kids, half of them, because that's really a time where they're individuating. That means they're becoming their own person. Half of your son, it sounds like, really wants to, you know, as silly as it sounds, be on your lap or, you know, have you give him a hug, and he still needs you and he loves you. And the other half of him is pushing away from you. And so when he comes home from school, he's doing that pushing away. And actually, what she shared with me stuck with me, and that was more difficult it is for them to separate from you, then the more noisy or sometimes even hostile they are about pushing you away. Because, I mean, they're going to have to separate and individuate and become in order to stand on their own two feet relatively soon when they get to be teenagers. And as moms, letting go is the hardest. It's one of the hardest things we do as mothers. But that's what it sounds like. And if there's just some time in the day or a few times a week that you can, you know what gets to his heart, whether it's in a driving to go get a Coke or whatever, and that you could connect with him or outside or with something he's passionate about or likes, that could really help your relationship.
Thanks so much for those words, Sherry. I hope that was helpful, Ray. We'll be back with more conversation about what a son needs from his mother and celebrating Mother's Day. Have a great afternoon. We'll talk to you in a few minutes. Connecting Faith, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. We're talking Mother's Day, and specifically we're talking about mothers and sons and the impact that a mother can have on raising a boy who can be confident and also a possible future leader. So, Sherry, we've been talking a little bit about nurturing, about spending time with and connecting with our boys. How can moms raise confident and competent sons? What's one of the keys to doing that if you had to boil it down?
Well, I think one of the keys is keeping our goal in mind of raising independent boys who think and act for themselves and grow into confident men who can stand on their own two feet. Because I think we have to be intentional about it. We have to have a big picture. We have to almost see that this little boy who may be kind of messy and his emotions, kind of up and down depending on what age he is, he's going to be a man someday. And I think it helps if we get the big picture in mind. That helps us moderate our fears when, they're doing something kind of adventurous and we kind of want to have them get down and be right beside us. And even this mom who just called in, Ray, who you can tell her feelings are hurt because sometimes her son wants to be close to her and needs her, and then he pushes her away in the same day, a few hours later. And I think if we can not take it personally when that happens, but no, that's really more about him than it is about me as a mom. And God has enormous grace for us as mothers. We so often worry about, I'm not doing what I ought to do, or maybe I'm missing it here or there, or my son doesn't have a father, I'm a single mom. But I share some great examples in the book of just courageous single mothers who've raised very confident, very courageous men who've impacted our country and our world. And God has grace for moms, and he'll be the husband, and he's the father of the fatherless. And I think, when they come to tough spots and they don't know what to do, if we'll just hold back and not do it for them, that is a real key. If we'll help them talk through the process if they want to, if they're having problems at school or they're not getting their homework done, for instance, just a practical thing. Don't do their homework for them. Don't intervene when they get in trouble and fix it every time, because they're not going to grow up to be confident. They'll think, I need mom to do everything for me and to fix all my problems. So believe in them 100%. I mean, God's wired your son up for the purpose he has for him, and we don't know what it's a marvelous process to see God's purpose unfold in our son's life. And he loves him thousands and thousands of times more than we love our sons, as much as we love them. So I think a lot of trust comes in there. And if we're fearful, I find a lot of moms are really fearful because we live in a broken world, and really getting help for those fears so we can be a confident mom who's trusting the Lord.
You mentioned that each boy, each individual has their own God-given gifts and talents. And talk about the importance of taking the time to recognize your son's God-given gifts and supporting those.
Well, our school systems say that only about 5% of kids are gifted and talented, but that's very, very faulty because God has, wired up every child, every baby has, did you know, in fact, research shows that every person, every child can do something better than 10,000 other people if their talent is discovered and developed, and that's gifted. And so there's language smarts, there's our boys who have language and verbal ability even at a young age, and they love wordplay and rhymes, and they're good little storytellers. And then we have boys who have body smarts, and they may be the best little player on the soccer team or the t-ball team, or when they get older on the baseball team. He may be kind of fidgety in the classroom, because it goes along with that. Sometimes kids have to use so much of their energy on sitting still in a chair that they can't really use their brains very well. One of the gifts that our older son had that I recognized from a very early age and encouraged him about was people smarts. And, I mean, he would go to day camp when he went to preschool. I mean, in 5 minutes, he has a friend. He's so friendly. He's so warm. He just knows how to talk to people. And it's really helped him be a very successful businessman as a regional manager of a big international medical company, because he knows how to deal with people. He listens well. He knows how to communicate. And he was kind of the one on the playground that would kind of help everybody get organized and figure out a game and that sort of thing. And so there's all these different gifts, and I think we need to not put our sons in a box of, oh, he's going to have the same gifts as his dad or as me, and just open our minds. A number of my books have chapters about, like, Talkers, Watchers, and Doers, Unlocking Your Child's Learning, Unique Learning Potential, has chapters on the different ways God's wired up children differently, and the different talents and gifts. And I even talk about those in What a Son Needs from His Mom. And, for instance, sometimes in childhood, those very gifts look negative, like a bossy child. Did you know that is the marker in childhood for administrative gifting, like the man who could be CEO of a company. And yet it sounds like it's very bossy and even demanding and giving everybody in the family orders. And also, like, a son who's very argumentative, and he's always saying, well, why is that? Well, I don't know that that's right. And he can be very argumentative, but it's really the marker in childhood of an analytical gift. And what a gift that is once he grows into his gift. But we're, as moms, in the process of helping with the Holy Spirit, with God who made our children, helping shape them and provide that encouragement. And I do think boys need a mom who encourages, because they're going to hear from the time they're first go to school until, and even, you know, church and Sunday school, until they graduate, really hundreds and hundreds of negative things about themselves and critiques, and you need to do better in this, and you're not doing well in this. And I believe a mom's encouragement for his efforts, for what we see, I call it little snapshots, seeing, fed the dog for 5 days in a row when he said he would, and then taking a little verbal snapshot of that and saying, son, you said you'd feed the dog all week, and you did. That's what I call responsible. And that's not blowing his head up, and when he, you know, blowing his self-esteem up or his ego, you know, like he's doing well on the football field, and you say, you're going to be the next NFL, you know, star. It's recognizing and praising their efforts and the way they're trying and their progress. And it's a marvelous thing when a son feels really encouraged, even when he makes mistakes, that he still has an encouraging mom, and that the home environment is just an encouraging environment.
You do write a little bit about you write a lot about encouragement and how that can be one of our greatest opportunities as moms, but that encouragement is different from when they are toddlers or even early grade school to when they become middle schoolers or high schoolers, that it's really not our role to say, you were fabulous, you should have won, you got ripped off, instead of recognizing that indeed they may have been able to do better. And how do we kind of toe that line between instilling confidence and creating kind of an arrogance?
Well, one of the things is what I was just talking about, and it's actually a lot of research has been done about it. It's called effort praising. And instead of just praising performance, which is like, oh, you got 98 on that test, or you got 95, you got an A, you're a genius. That's it called intelligence or just performance praising. The problem with that is then when they don't do well, it puts pressure on them and they think, well, I guess I'm not smart. But if we praise their efforts and more when they're young, and then as they get older, they just really don't want to hear a constant stream of you're great, you did great. We have to moderate that, sometimes use little sticky notes that we put on their mirror. And then we're encouraging their efforts so that they know that really success in life is really a lot about hard work. It's not about just that you have, you know, you're the smartest boy in the class. It's really based on hard work and perseverance and character. And I think, you know, there's ways that I talk about in the book that we can do that and not just pump up their ego.
Mm. And my son was just asking about Michael Jordan, and I asked him, do you think Michael Jordan ever practiced, or was he just that good? And he had to think about it for a little bit, and we just discussed that difference between having a talent and nurturing a talent. Sure, God gives us talents, and you may have a great physical talent or intellectual talent, whatever that is, but it's our responsibility to be nurturing that talent as well and being productive with what he's given us.
And you know, Joe, just a few days ago, we live in the Oklahoma City area. We live in Edmond, Oklahoma. And Kevin Durant, who is just been, you know, awarded the MVP of the NBA, he's the star of our local Oklahoma City Thunder team, so I had to put a word in for Thunder. But you know, when he was awarded that, they wanted him to give like a 20-25 minute speech of acceptance, and he gave so much praise to his mother for the encouragement along the way, for the fact that, I mean, they lived in a very poor part of Washington D.C. and that she was always there for him and kept him off the streets and kept him on the right path and always believed in him. And, I mean, this guy went from the most disadvantaged at-risk boy you can imagine out of just true poverty to a man who is a role model for literally thousands of children and a real hero. But he gives the credit to his mom, and I love that. He's very, very humble, and he's just a man of character, and he says a lot of that comes from how I was raised by my single mom.
Mm. What a great honor that we have as moms of a boy, both boys and girls, just to be able to instill values into them. In fact, when we come back from this break, I'd love to just talk about nurturing a son's faith and what our role is as mothers to do that, and as fathers too. So we'll absolutely give them some kudos and ideas as well. You're listening to Connecting Faith, and today we're talking with author Cherry Fuller, and she's written a book called What a Son Needs from His Mom, as well as countless other books. And we'll chat a little bit about nurturing a son in their faith, coming right up on Connecting Faith.
Maybe you've heard that Faith Radio's on Twitter. It's an increasingly popular way to stay connected to your friends and your interests online and on your phone. It's simple and easy. It sends you short updates on the latest from your favorite Faith Radio teachers, original shows, and events. What about giving it a try today? Just search for My Faith Radio on Twitter or head to twitter.com/MyFaithRadio to follow us today.
Hey, It's encouragement and hope for your daily journey.
My husband drives a semi, and he goes this way Monday through Friday, and he's grown tremendous through this radio station and one or two others along the way, and I thank you so much. It's meant a lot to our entire family. It's a miracle. I thank God for your radio station.
Connecting your faith to everyday life. Faith Radio.
Have you here this hour? We're talking about mothers and sons and the great opportunity that moms have to have an imprint on their sons and also on their faith. And Cherry, we've been talking a little bit about that influence. How can a mom nurture her son's faith?
Well, first, Joe, I would say realizing that the first years are the golden opportunity to nurture your son's faith and for us not to depend on the church, because growing a healthy, strong faith of loving the Lord, knowing the Lord Jesus, receiving him into your life, that happens really on a day-by-day lifestyle basis at home with a mother and father who love the Lord, who model a life of faith, and realizing, you know, it's little things that impact them. Like one of the things I did with all three of our children and both of our sons was every night we would read this little book called Little Visits with God. And it had short devotionals, and we read that for years. We read Bible stories. I was going to mention, reading inspirational stories and Bible stories of great men in the Bible is a wonderful thing for boys. It's a time we can be close to them. And reading things that they're going to be interested in. So I think it's the small things that we do that are laying a foundation for their attitude about God. We call it the 4 to 14 window. The great majority of people who commit their lives to Christ and follow Christ in their life come to know him and between the ages of 4 and 14. So we are, those are critical golden years to nurture their faith and to pray with them. One of the things we can do with boys that doesn't embarrass them, of course, when they're little, they love it when we pray with them or pray, is take those opportunities, like at dinner time, not just saying a rote prayer, but thanking God. Maybe, different ones. Dad says it one night, mom one night, and depending on the ages of the kids. But as a mom, we can thank God for something about each of our sons and our husband. And that's one of the ways they learn gratefulness. Instead of in our prayer saying, oh, Lord, help him to do better in school or be kinder to his sister. And then when your son has a problem and he comes to you, even a little boy, and he's crying because somebody's been mean on the, out in the yard or on the playground, and we really listen to him, and maybe we communicate about that or ask him a question. But then, before he runs off, we say, honey, could I just wrap a prayer around that? Could I wrap a prayer around that need or that problem or that hurt? And then we just quietly put our hand on his shoulder and we just pray for him. We just, in that moment, we're being a conduit for God's love to touch our son, to heal his heart or to heal his skin, knee, or whatever. And just knowing that we're available and we take his problem seriously, but he can experience God's grace and presence when we pray for our children. And I think our greatest influence with our sons in our son's life, besides loving them and being their mom, is praying for them. Because the truth is, we can take our kids, our boys and our girls, to the best church and the best school and have them in the best sports and do devotionals at home. But the truth is that we cannot change their heart. Only God can change their heart, but he does that through the Spirit as we pray for him. The Spirit is released in their life as we continue to pray for our sons, and our prayers are going to outlive their lives, and they're going to go on to bless them even when we're in heaven, and to bless the next generation and the next generation until Christ comes back. And so, moms, don't get too busy to pray, because I tell you, I've talked to men who they literally start to have a little tear come down their face when they talk about their mom praying them through teenage years, through all kinds of issues, school having trouble in math or whatever, and they knew their mom was praying. And then trusting that God is, you know, he says he doesn't want them to perish and nobody's going to snatch them out of their hand. And we've just got to, when they get older, not try to micromanage their faith and make them go to Bible study. You know, there's all that trust that comes in there as a faithful praying mother and knowing God has a purpose for your son's life and a bright future and a hope and just praying that into being.
And, you know, I have never had either of my sons say no when I ask them if I can pray for them as they're heading off to school or facing something
difficult.
You are
exactly right, Joe, and I haven't either because it communicates love to them and faith to them.
Absolutely. So what can we say to that mom or that dad who's listening today who feels like they've modeled faith, they've brought their children to church, they've prayed with them and for them, and yet their sons are still very far from God? How can we encourage them today?
Well, I would say that part of growing up and being, you know, becoming independent is that most boys don't want to ride into heaven on their parents' coattail. And so, you know, they may, I know our oldest son, there was a time at college that he, you know, he'd be home on the weekend and I'd say, well, are you going to church with us? And, you know, one day he sat me down and he said, Mom, you know, really this is my faith and this is really between me and God. And I don't know that I'm going today. And, of course, we're sad. But questioning and doubting is part of seeking, and God loves the prodigals. I mean, if your son is far, far away from God, God loves the prodigals, and he is relentless in his pursuit of our sons and daughters. And if your son is away from God, I'd say, you know, talk a lot more to God about him than you do to him about God for a while. And get a group together of moms and pray for him and consistently and biblically and perseveringly, which is hard to do. We get discouraged if it goes for, you know, several years and nothing has changed. And that's really what happened with our oldest son. I mean, from the time he was in ninth grade, although he'd been raised in the church and baptized and, you know, loved Jesus. But when he got into his teenage years through the first 2 years of college, he was not looking for Bible studies on campus. He liked the party lifestyle, and he wasn't in jail. His heart was away from God, and he was just enjoying, you know, teenage life and then college life. And, you know, I'm so grateful that I got moms, and they came over to my house, and I had a Moms in Touch group. It's called Moms in Prayer now. And then we had a college and career prayer group. And we literally prayed each of our sons and daughters into back to the Lord, or just supported their faith. Just,
I think we lost her there. Did we lose her there, Ryan?
I think so. Are you still there, Cherry?
I am. I'm here, but there's something odd on the other side.
Well, we only have a few minutes left, and I'd love to get to one question that I think everyone who's getting to that point where their children are starting to leave the nest would like to know. When it is time for your son to leave and our sons to step out on their own, you quote an author, two authors, Stephen James and David Thomas, who wrote Wild Things, who say, a powerful paradox of motherhood is that if you do your job well, your son will leave you completely. Can you just offer some encouragement to moms who may be facing that this spring as their sons are either heading off to college or maybe heading off to get married and have families of their own?
Well, I would say celebrate, rejoice, because you have, if they're launching, then you have you've done your job, and they may, you know, not call you as much when they're in college or when they're not living there, but they love you very, very much. They may be quiet about it, but they'll be back, and they'll be back, you know, not only holidays, but they'll be back when their children, when they get married and their children are born. And this is a, you know, this is a relationship for a lifetime, no matter how it is now. And I was just quickly trying to say that at the end of our Justin's sophomore year of college, we were driving across town, and he turned to me. This is after 6 years of no spiritual progress. And he said, "Mom, you know, I've gotten really stressed out and tired of being so far away from God, and there's nothing I want more than to follow Christ and be close to Christ again." And I just about jumped out of the car. I was so happy. But the Lord is going to be faithful, and moms, develop a purposeful life, things that you love and you want to do, and that gives your son, then he's not using his energy worrying about you, but he knows that you're living a joyful, purposeful life, even though now his, you know, he's gone to college or his job or to the military service, and there's a bond there that will last a lifetime.
Mm. We have about 90 seconds left. Cherry, would you just pray for moms as they celebrate Mother's Day and realize the importance that they have in the lives of their son, and we'll say goodbye.
All righty. Well, first of all, moms, happy Mother's Day. God picked you out of all the mothers in the world to be your son's and your daughter's mother. So enjoy your Mother's Day. And Lord, I just thank you so much for this program that sheds light wherever it's heard. And I pray for all the mothers who are listening today in whatever situation they're in with their family, whatever stress they have, whatever even right now they're feeling. Lord, I thank you for the heart of a mother who loves and sacrifices for her children. I thank you, Lord, for the moms who are listening today who love you and who want their sons to love you. And just give them enormous grace. Wrap your arms around these mothers and grandmothers as well, and just give them strength and energy to finish well and to not only finish the school year well, but just to finish well as moms, and give them passion for things that are on your heart, Lord, because I don't think there's any retirement with you. You've got a purpose for every mom when her son graduates and the last one graduates. So just bless them. Just give them the kiss of your presence this Mother's Day. And thank you. We give you all the glory and thanks for the privilege of being mothers. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks so much, Cherry, for joining us for this hour. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And thank you for joining us on Connecting Faith today as we celebrate moms. I hope you have just a wonderful weekend celebrating all that there is about being mothers, whether you have sons or daughters or a single mom. It's been great to have you here today.